Douglas Crook,
Sunday AM,
October 2nd, 2011.
You can be opening your Bibles this morning, if you would like, to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. At the end of the service this morning, we will be observing the memorial known as the Lord's Supper, also known as the communion. And this memorial service is an opportunity for us to look back at the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and to remind us of everything, as the ladies just finished singing, of all of the things that Jesus accomplished for us because he was willing to go to that cross. And upon looking backward toward the cross, we can then look forward to the future and to all that Jesus has promised us based on that finished work of Calvary. And we can look forward with great anticipation and hope, knowing no matter what life holds for us, we know what the future holds for us. And we are the only people, the only group, when I say that, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have a hope that goes beyond this life and goes beyond the grave. And so as we, with this memorial service, with the Lord's Supper, as we look back at the cross and look forward to the future with hope, we can then look at the present. And we can look at the present with understanding and perspective. We can find strength and comfort and guidance and victory to live a life of faithfulness right now. We can live a life of fruitfulness and a life of service because we were able to look back at the cross and its finished work, which provided for us this unshakable hope of eternity. And that gives us perspective for right now. And as a preface to our observance of the Lord's Supper that causes us first to look back to the cross, I'd like for us to take time to examine one of the Apostle Paul's many references to the cross. And this will be our text, and I want to dissect it this morning and divide it into three separate phrases and to see if we can't fully understand what Paul was saying by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, by this very familiar verse. If you've been in church at all, you've heard this verse. It's a precious verse. But why is it so valuable? Why is it so encouraging to those who understand it? Well, let's look at it. Let's read Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The first phrase that we want to dissect this morning in this short verse is, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he mean by that? The phrase that's translated God forbid in the Greek text, it's interesting that you will not find the word God or forbid. The Greek text does not say God forbid. Literally, it could be translated, may it not be. It's the negative. It's the exact opposite of the word amen that we use often. And sometimes people use the word amen, they don't know what they're saying. It simply means, so be it. Well, this word that Paul uses that's translated, God forbid, it's the exact opposite of amen. It's may it never be. And it is the strongest possible expression in the Greek to express objection to a statement that's been asserted or to a possibility that has been declared. The English translators of the King James Version and other versions as well, they were looking for a dynamic equivalent to try to express the strength of this negative objection. And so this is why they came up with God forbid. And though God forbid certainly expresses that strong objection, When this phrase is used, a better translation, a more accurate translation may simply be, certainly not. Absolutely not. A common slang phrase that may also be accurately translated is, no way. And actually, some of the Spanish versions translate this phrase exactly that way. It says, en ninguna manera. No way. So that also expresses this, the strength of this phrase. In Galatians 6:14, the way that it's used grammatically, we would probably have to translate it just a little bit different so it makes sense for us. But it could be translated this way. May it never be that I boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. One of the Spanish versions translates it this way. May it be far from me to glory in anything other than the cross of Jesus Christ. So this is what Paul is saying. He is strongly objecting to the very possibility that he would even be tempted to glory in anything else, to boast in anything else other than the cross of Jesus Christ. That work that was accomplished for him in and through and by the person of Jesus Christ. Now let's examine the word boast a little more. We understand the phrase, God forbid, that it's the strongest possible Greek objection. No way. Absolutely not. May it never be. But what is the objection? It is to boast, except for in Jesus Christ. The Greek word that's translated in the English here, boast, or other translations give glory, it, just like the English word, the Greek can be used either in a positive way or a negative way. The negative usage of this word would be to arrogantly brag about yourself or your accomplishments. In other words, it can be used to denote selfish and carnal pride. But the same word can also be used in a positive way, and that when it's used in a positive way, it has the thought of justified praise, acknowledgement given to those who deserve it. And so clearly what Paul is saying here, he's using the word boast in the good sense when he comes to the conclusion. If he boasts in anything else, it's in the negative sense. But if he boasts in Christ, it's for the right reasons and it's justified. What does the boasting imply? Again, the Greek, when you begin to see how they used it, especially in the positive sense, and even in a sense in the negative, it has to do with strong confidence. I have strong confidence in only one thing, the cross of Jesus Christ. What is it that people boast in? Just examine the thought here, just to know what Paul is trying to get at. What we boast in reflects what we place our confidence in, does it not? What is it that brings us joy, pleasure, assurance, confidence? The things that we boast in are the things that make us happy. They're the things that we think give our life significance. Is that not true? Stop and think about what people boast in. We're going to look at a few of them, but boast, whether it be the negative or the positive, it is things that we value or people that we value. Some people boast in their intelligence. You've been around people like to remind you how smart they are. They think their intelligence or their education. Some people like to make sure you know how many degrees they have. And they boast in it because that's their confidence. That's what gives their life significance. Some people boast in their career. Well, I'm successful. And that makes me somebody. And that gives me assurance for the future because I've got a career. Some people boast in their bank account. Some people boast in their nationality. Some people boast in their family. Their family is everything. And it gives their life significance because who their family is and who they come from and who their inheritance is from. The things that we value the most are the things that give us confidence and significance in our minds. Now, the Galatians, in the context of this verse, and if you get the chance, read the context. It's always good. You can't fully understand what's being said if you don't understand what's being said in context. The Galatians were boasting in something else, is why Paul was even making this statement. The Galatians were boasting in their religious works. That's what they put value in. They felt that their religious works of circumcision and Sabbath keeping and all of the laws of Moses, they felt that those things made them right and important with God. Their religion was their assurance. Their religion is what made them important to each other and to God. It's what gave them a future, they thought. But Paul, in writing to the Galatians in no uncertain terms, what did he tell them about that kind of boasting? He says it's vain and it's empty and it's false. The strong confidence you have in these works that you're going to be right with God, you're simply wrong. It's a false confidence. Because when it's all said and done, you're going to find out that God has made it clear that He has rejected all works of sinful man. And so what you are boasting in, God has already condemned. And so he said, that's a pretty dangerous boast. But Paul wrote the Galatians and said, you know, my only boast is this. The only value that he placed on anything was what Jesus accomplished for him on the cross. Now, I want you to stop and think, and I know that for at least most of you, I'm not saying anything new. In fact, I'm saying something you've heard millions and millions of times. But I want us to stop and ask ourselves, what is our boast today? What is it that you actually value? Who do you value? Why do you think your life matters? Why is it important? Is it who you know? Well, as long as that who you know that you're talking about is Jesus Christ, that is your only confidence. Paul came to that place. When Paul referred to the cross, he says, my only confidence is in the cross. Not just any cross, because many people had been crucified in Paul's day on the cross. But it's the cross of Jesus Christ that was his boast. Paul was referring to the sacrificial death of the Son of God. The cross in that day was a sign of shame and humiliation. It's very unlike what it is today. I was shopping with Christy the other day, a rarity, but I was there. And in one, as we went by the jewelry case, I saw there was a whole jewelry tower dedicated to men's jewelry. And you know what it had in it? These big silver crosses. And they were beautiful. And how many people, not just Christians, but how many, you know, you see them on the athletes, you see them on the rappers, you see them, these big, beautiful crosses. In our day, it's a piece of jewelry. In Paul's day, when he told the Galatians that he gloried in the cross, you know what they did? They went, whoa. Because the cross was a place for criminals. The cross was a place of shame and reproach and death. Why would you find any value in anybody's cross? But the reason, of course, is because Jesus Christ, his death was different than all the other deaths. He died to pay the debt of our sin to our Creator. Jesus' death on the cross is the only thing that can give any individual's life meaning, significance, or hope. The only thing. Apart from the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, our life is vain and empty and hopeless. This is where so many people...
Saints, there are times when I simply do not know what more to say or how to say it. Our message is simple. It is powerful. It is life.
It is the only thing that will give anyone any significance or purpose to life. It's not just a religion where we come together and play church. It will transform your life. And there's only so many ways I can say it. What is it that we boast in this morning? Do you understand how important our message is and our testimony to that message? And why that we need to take the teaching of Scripture so seriously? And why we understand why this assembly even exists? It's for the sole purpose of proclaiming the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing in life that's worth boasting in that has value apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3. Why is Jesus and his work at Calvary the only thing that we should find value in? Paul gives us a good reason here in Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. I'm going to read the lengthy passage here. Again, not new. Brother Freestone has been given some excellent lessons in Romans for some time. He covered this thoroughly. But let's read it to remind ourselves just why our only boast must be in the cross. What then? Are we better than they? Are the religious Jews better than the heathen Gentiles? Not at all, Paul says. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. Worthless is the meaning behind the word. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. The teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is very simple, and yet it is crystal clear. Man is born in sin apart from God, our Creator. And apart from a living relationship with the living God, our life is worthless. That is true of everyone born to the human race. What happens if you take that worthless, vile creature and you add riches or education or career, or a sparkling family, or a devout religion? What if you add all of that to that vile, worthless creature who's hopelessly lost in sin? What do you come up with? Zero plus zero equals what? Zero. You still have nothing. All of those things that people boast in, it's still in the presence of the Creator, it's still zero. He does not accept it. It still leaves you in a realm of darkness and death, separated from the God of life. Philippians chapter 3. When Paul told the Galatians who were boasting in their religious works, when he told them, you know, I don't boast in anything, I don't boast in those works, he was coming from an experience where he knew at one time he himself had boasted in those exact same works. But he came to a place where he realized that he could have no confidence that those things were going to make him right with God. Because God said, no, I don't accept those. And in Philippians 3, Paul tells us just how fully he had turned from trusting in the things that other people trust in, boasting in them, resting in them, finding value in them. He so fully turned from them only to Christ that this is what he says in Philippians 3, verses 3 to 11. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus. It's the same thought. Boast in Jesus Christ. Find your joy and peace and confidence and purpose in Jesus Christ. And have no confidence in anything that you can do in yourself. No confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks they have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Paul gives his own experience. He says, I've circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I want you to try to understand what Paul's saying. He was talking about the things that the Galatians found confidence that they were important. Paul says it's nothing more than garbage, and it's the worst possible garbage that you can imagine. Education, power, wealth, apart from Jesus Christ, is nothing more than rubbish. And to be found in him was Paul's desire. Not having his own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, Paul said, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, those of you who are familiar with this passage, you understand that Paul is talking about the highest calling that's given to Christians. But do you also notice how that simple boasting in Christ is the foundation for that glorious calling of ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ? If you someday think that you are so mature that you no longer need to boast in the cross, but you can boast in everything you've done for God, you've missed the boat. You want to win Christ, your boast can only be in the cross of Jesus Christ. And it will be. Not only for salvation, but for every area of your life and your spiritual walk with the Lord. Man without God is utterly and totally depraved and hopelessly and eternally lost. That's why Paul says, my only boast is in the cross. But now we have to ask ourselves, why? Why does he have confidence in the cross? And that leads us to the next phrase. It's because the work of redemption accomplished on the cross for us It changed our identification with a sin-scarred world. It changed our identification with a world that is condemned to judgment and wrath. But by Jesus Christ and His cross, the world has been crucified to me. The world has been made a corpse to me. The word that's translated world in this passage, it's not a reference to the physical planet, but rather it is a reference to the human race that inhabits this planet. It is a reference to the order and the system of principles that cause man to conduct themselves in direct rebellion against their Creator. That's what Paul means when he says, the world is dead to me. I am dead to the... Let's see, which one is it? By whom the world has been crucified to me. The world is dead to me. The world system, if you'll turn to 1 John, this system of principles by which the world lives in rebellion against God, it consists of many different elements. John gives us a few. I'll simply give you some of the elements that are found in Scripture that are part of what make up this world system. It's made up of our fallen nature, the flesh. And that includes even the religious aspects of our flesh that think that we can keep the law of Moses or any other religious law and make ourselves right with God. It includes that religious arrogance. In 1 John 2, verses 16 and 17, John says this, "For all that is in the world," and then he gives some elements, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world," that world system. "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." That's the world that has been crucified to me. Christ died in our place to deliver us from that world system. His death on the cross became my death to sin, to self, and to the condemnation of the law, and to the influence of the world system. And His resurrection became my birth into a whole new realm. I'm no longer a part of that realm, that world of darkness and death and condemnation. I've been born because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm now a citizen of heaven. That's why Paul boasted in the cross, because it caused me to die in one as a citizen of one world, and caused me to be born into a new world. I'll give you some references here that you can look at later that will specifically tell you about this crucifixion that took place, identifying ourselves with the cross of Jesus Christ. In Romans 6, verses 5 to 7, there it talks clearly that His death was our death, and we died to sin on that cross. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, there Paul writes about the law of Moses that condemned us as sinners before God. It was nailed to the cross. It was satisfied. It was fulfilled in the person, in our representative there who died on the cross. The law of Moses was fulfilled, and the wrath of God, the righteousness of God, was satisfied because of the cross. In Galatians 2:20, let's turn to that one. It's a familiar one, but let's turn to Galatians 2:20 and 21. "To understand that the cross is the remedy to my own inward sinful nature that would draw me further and further from God. But because of the cross, I now have power to live a life of godliness, a life of significance, a life of fruitfulness." Galatians 2:20 and 21, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Sometimes we as Christians forget that the only thing we can boast in is the cross. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, may we remember that apart from the work that this makes us look back to, we are nothing and we have nothing. You say, well, Brother Doug, you know, I've lived a long time for the Lord. I've done a lot of things. If you truly have been productive and fruitful for the Lord, and I hope that is a true statement, that should be your desire. You should want fruit in your life because that's what God wants for you. But if you do have fruit, you know why you have it. You know why you've been able to serve the Lord and be faithful? It's because Jesus died on the cross. Your only boast must be in his sacrificial death. Paul wrote to Corinthians and he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Yes, I labored more than everyone else, but it really wasn't me. It was the Christ in me. Because by the cross of Jesus Christ, the world is crucified to me. It's dead to me. I'm now living in a new realm. I'm a new creature. And that brings us to the last phrase. And I am crucified to the world. The world has been made a corpse to me, and I have been made a corpse to the world. I want you to think of it in that gruesome term. I am crucified to the world. The world, that is, lost humanity, finds no worth or attraction in me or in you. It finds nothing of value in the new life of Christ that's in me. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of the miracle of the new birth, because I've been made a new creature, because I'm a citizen of heaven, the world hates me and sees nothing there that is of any value. This is what John said in 1 John. He said, don't be surprised that the world doesn't know you. It didn't know him. That's why they crucified him to begin with. When we remember this simple message, you know, there are many Christians today that feel it is their mission to the world to try to improve the world's moral and social conditions. And they do that through Christian principles, that is their attempt, through social and political means. And then they wonder why the world doesn't change and doesn't embrace their efforts. It's because the believer is dead to the world. They don't want what a corpse is offering. They never will. In this life, our only mission, this is again, saints, we've got to come back over and over again to the simplicity of the gospel. This is why Paul, when he went to preach, he says, you know, I don't care that you know anything about me. I don't care that you know that I was taught by the best teacher in the country. I don't care that you know that I was once wealthy and powerful. He said, all I want you to know is that I know Jesus Christ and him crucified. What is it you try to impress with people at work? Children, young people, this even goes for you. Because this is our flesh and it starts really early. Who you try to impress? How do you try to impress people at school? By what you know? By how well you can throw a ball? You need to come to this realization. Your only boast is in the cross of Jesus Christ. No one else, nothing else. And our simple mission in life is this. My responsibility is not to try to improve the world who is crucified to me and I to it. But let's read 2 Corinthians 5 and see that simple message, that simple mission. It is only to point people to the cross. We don't point them to a church. We don't point them to a preacher. We don't point them to a program. We point them to the cross, that they can learn to boast in the cross of Jesus Christ and him alone. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, those who believe, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Again, our message, our mission. Do you understand how important it is? We are the very ambassadors of the only message that can bring hope and life to any individual and to all who believe. As though God were pleading through us, we are God's mouthpiece. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We have the message the world needs to hear. We understand that most of the world will reject the message that is coming from what they perceive to be a smelly corpse. But there will be some who will hear from us, from our lips, the words of life. And they will put their boast in Jesus Christ too. Jesus says that's our responsibility. May Paul's words, as we close with Galatians 6:14, where we began, if the brethren will come and prepare the elements, please. Look at these words again. Read them as I read them to you in Galatians 6 and verse 14. But God forbid, may it never be, that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Brother Freestone, would you give thanks for this glorious cross?